Good evening. The subject that we're gonna do tonight is a very important subject, and the reason why it's an important subject. Just one second. Is this the Shul's recording? Which one? No, just one recording. Just the Shul's recording. Okay. Okay, we're just doing the Shul's recording. That's it. Okay. Thank you. The subject is a important subject, and the reason is because while the topic may be a very fun, exciting subject, at the same time, it's a subject that if you go through it properly, there is a tremendous amount that you can learn. Because the truth is that when you try to study the origin of the Hasidim and the Misnagdim and the way things went, when you really analyze the subject well, you'll realize that all the people involved were G'dayli Olam on both sides of the table. And I'll just share a short word. The Brisker Uv once said that we know, Chazal tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that Kol Machloikis Shehi L'Shem Shemayim Seifel L'Hiskayim. Any Machloikis, which is a Machloikis L'Shem Shemayim, eventually will have a Kiyim. So if you had to pick another Machloikis that had so much kiyum, like the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, which basically became the two future Chalukim of Klal Yisrael, there is no greater Sefer L'Hiskayim than this Machloikis. So that's the case. Obviously, this was a Machloikis which was truthfully L'Shem Shemayim. And if this is a Machloikis which is L'Shem Shemayim, it's very worthwhile for us to go back and analyze the origins of this Machloikis in order that we have a deep understanding of many of the issues, and at the same time, while we'll understand the issues, it's something that we can learn a tremendous derech hachayim from this discussion. So why don't we go through the subject, and rather than the typical shiurim that you'll have on this type of subject where somebody will come up and tell you the history and tell you stories, that's not what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to try to learn the svarim of the original Sifrei Chasidus and the original Talmidei HaGru, and as we read through the Svarim, we'll get a better flavor what each one of them held on many different subjects. Now, I'm sure many of you are versed and steeped in the Sifrei Chasidus. So, well, if I had to ask you, who are the most famous Sifrei Chasidus, right, that we would have to analyze in order to have a deep understanding of the subject? Where would you start? Huh? Tanya. That's an excellent choice. The Tanya is definitely a great choice because the Tanya himself was the and by the way, Tanya is a great choice for the subject because the Balatanya actually tried to meet with the Vilna Gaon in order to make peace. So that would be an extremely important choice. Okay. What was the other one I heard they mentioned? Huh? Divrei Yoel. Divrei Yoel. Okay, we're already going to the Satmar Rebbe. You're many, many years ahead, right? Okay, as a matter of fact, you look at the Satmar Rebbe's Svarim, one of his three favorite Svarim to quote was the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer is outspoken against Chasidus in his writings. So we're not going to use it. But I also heard the Baal Shem Tov mentioned, right? And again, there is a Sefer, there is the Tzavur of the Baal Shem Tov, which is written, which is a great choice. And there are many more, right? For example, there's a Sefer Noam Elimelech. Who wrote the Noam Elimelech? Rabbi Elimelech of Lugensk, right? Great choice. Everybody knows there's an Asiya on Chof Aleph Adar, right? So everybody's running to Rabbi Elimelech, okay? And there's many more for him. For example, there's the Toldus Yaakov Yosef, right? So sort of by the Chassidim is fondly known as the Toldus. That's the short way, right? There was Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polna, was his name. And then you have the Oyev Yisrael, right? Who is the Oyev Yisrael? The Apteruv, right? Apt was the Oyev Yisrael. You have the Avoidus Yisrael. The Avoidus Yisrael was the famous Koshnitz Magid. Okay? The Kedishas Levi. I'm sure they all know. Who is the Kedishas Levi? The Badichev, right? Rav Levi Yitzchak of Badichev, who was very known to be the Melech Yosha on Yidin. You had the Mo'ev Shumish, the Mo'er Inayim, right? The Chernobylah, and others like Ramea Premishlana. So what we will do is we will read excerpts from those Svarim to get a better idea of the view of the Chassidim in general. At the same time, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to work with the Svarim of the, obviously, the Gru, the Vilna Gaon. And you have the Netziv, who was an outspoken critic of Hasidim, right? The Netziv. You also have the Noid Behida, who was quite strong in his views. He was a Ruv of Prague. You have, there's a very famous Shuvah Sefer. The name of the Sefer is Zichron Yosef. The Zichron Yosef was the Rav of the city of Fiura, and it was a city in Ashkenaz. In his Sefer, he writes very, very strongly against Hasidim in the introduction. You had Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, who was the Pa'asa Shilchan, right? The Shklov Aguan, very famed Talmud of the Vilna Aguan, alongside with none other, Rabbi Say, than the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid was on the Bezdin of the Vilna Aguan. That's the position that he actually took. As a matter of fact, when the Vilna Aguan needed someone to tell him Musa, he would actually call the Dubna Magid to come to him and say, I would like you should come and share Musa with me. He was the person that had that position. You also had the brother of the Gaon, whose name was Reb Avrum, the brother of the Gaon. And Rabbi say, beyond the shadow of doubt, the Sefer that you will find the most about Hasidus, but it's written totally against Hasidus, was Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Okay, this Sefer here, Nefesh HaChaim, take the Sefer, and you should really learn this Sefer cover to cover, because the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim is a fabulous Sefer to learn. Now, why is the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim such a fabulous Sefer to learn? Reb Chaim Volozhiner happens to be, there's a very interesting story. It's known that the big cities signed charumis, they signed certain cherims against Hasidus. One of the many of those signatories that we discussed are the names that I shared with you till now. Now, it's very interesting that who never signed the cherim against the Chassidim? Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Never signs. Now, why doesn't he sign? Happens to be there's an interesting story that Reb Chaim Volozhiner one time was traveling. He got sick in a certain city, and the Chassidim nurtured him back to his health. So he felt as a chiv of Hakuras HaToiv, he has no right to sign a cherim against them. On the other hand, he felt he needed to protect the covenant of his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. Now, many of you will think that Hasidim know Soid, Kabbalah, right? Because the Rebbe still, when as soon as you hear them speak, you hear it's peppered with a couple of Zoyas and Kisvei Arizal. But I'll tell you a little secret. The most noted expert in Kabbalah, Rabbi Isai, was none other than the Vilna Gaon. You should all be aware of that. Not only the Vilna Gaon was such an expert in Kabbalah, he wrote many svarim on Kabbalah. The svarim of Kabbalah written by the Vilna Gaon, that when we open them up, we have no idea what it says there. That's how deep they are in Kabbalah. And his Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, writes this whole Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which is four sections. The whole Sefer is based on the Zohar and the Kisvei Arizal. In other words, what he was really trying to say, that if you want the true view, in his opinion, of Hasidus, the true view of Kabbalah, the true view of the Zohar Kodesh, I'll give you that view. And that's what the Nefesh HaChaim actually does in his Sefer. And I brought along three Svarim here, which is it's a little bit ripped already. When I was young, my brother was always using the Sefer. That's the reason why it got ripped, right? Yeah, you know why it got ripped, right? And there are three Svarim in here. It's really worthwhile. It's the old print. I enjoy the old print of all the Svarim. Neumeli Melech, the Lezhenska, Avodas Yisrael, Kashrut Samagid, Oiv Yisrael, the Apteru. So three very, very noted Hasidic Rebbes. And let's take a look at their differences. Now, let's say, at its onset, and here I don't have to go into much detail, everybody's quite familiar that a lot of this discussion has to do with demographics. The Baal Shem Tov saw that it was a time that the world needed change. They had in Europe, in many shtetlof, many powers, right? They had the peasants, people who, they didn't have the big yeshivas. It happens to be quite fascinating that the actual cherims are written in the big cities. There's a cherem written in Volozhin, there's a cherem written in Minsk, there's a cherem written in Kruka, because the big cities didn't need this, because they had yeshivas, they were educated. It was more in the smaller cities that they lacked the true education, and they needed to somehow get through. And there was a very specific Baal Shem Tov message that the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim were giving to these different groups. One of the major issues, and Kamat, every one of the Charumim written and every one of the letters written against Hasidus will always have this line, and that line is the Itza of Loi Siskoidudu. Everybody say Loi Siskoidudu, if you think about it, is an extremely essential part of this Machoikis. And everybody's familiar, Loi Siskoidudu, Chazal tell us, Loi Sase Agudois Agudois. You can't make groups in Klal Yisrael. If we just backtrack to the time of the Baal Shem Tov, which the time the Baal Shem Tov, there's a disagreement if he was born in 1695 or in 1700 amongst two of his Talmidim. But we go back to the late 1600s. Every city, Rabbi Say, has how many shuls? One shul. And one rav. And one dayan. And one psak. And suddenly, after the times of the Baal Shem Tov, what happened? Every city suddenly has two shuls. Because you have the city shul, and you have the shtibel. Right? And that's what slowly happens. Now this is a tremendous issue, because Chazal tell us, Leisase agudas agudas. You're not allowed to make in one area two different groups. In every area, you're only supposed to have one group of people at a time. And as a matter of fact, the Ritva says in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel that when you have different groups in one community that have different menhagim, it becomes like shtei tyrus. What does it mean, shtei tyrus? Suddenly you have two different tyrus. Which is the correct tyra? Is it this one or is it the other one? And this was a tremendous problem. And part of what the big issue that we have in New York today and many other big cities today is that the concept of kehillah is today totally obsolete. The concept of minik hamakim, right? Remember, in the times of Chazal, if you came to a city, you had to keep the menhagim of that place. There was no concept of you keeping your home old menhagim. You couldn't walk into a shul and say, "I'm going to do this because ba'in sfitman z'chazoy," right? You all heard that expression, ba'in sfitman z'chazoy. There was none of that. Why was there none of that? Because you always had to follow the minik hamakim. And I'll just read you one of the earlier haramas, the language, and you'll get the gist of what was bothering the people. He says as follows, Nischabri kat chashidim. So they refer to them as the kat of the chashidim, those that were chashid, those who were accused. Oisim agudas la'atzman. They make their own groups. Daseim shaynis mikal'am. They have new halachas. Okay? And one of the big discussions were nisach atfila. Remember, nisach atfila. The chashidim started to daven a different nisach called nisach ari, which was a variation of Nusach Ashkenaz that didn't exist till then. And he says, Ivachol ir ve'ir oisin agudas agudas. In every city they make their own group. And batik nasiyas ibatim midrashis. They make different shuls. And what happens? Parshin atzma min hatzibah b'shanais estamam. So this was one very major issue of al yishana. A person in an area shouldn't change them and hug him. And the first big discussion was Leisase agudas agudas. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yisai, there are certain words that we have in our vernacular today, in our vocabulary, that didn't exist pre-Hasidus, right? You speak about a certain person in Ivrit, so I'll ask you a question. The question will go, from which chug is he? From which chutzar is he? From which eder is he? Right? What do these words mean? Which group is he? Who does he belong to? Till the time of the Hasidim, there was no concept of belonging to a group. You belong to Yiddishkeit, and you were in that community, whatever Yiddishkeit was the minig in that community. Now suddenly, Klal Yisrael became fragmented into groups. So that was the first major pushback that they had against Hasidim. Okay? Now, let's try to take these few moments and really understand what was the Torah HaBaal Shem, what he was pushing, and what was the concepts that he was pushing. And I want you to understand one thing. There's one concept, and I'll throw out first what the concept is, but then we'll speak about it. You'll see how many differences it makes and what this concept's all about. Chassidus, Rabbi Yisai, is built on a concept called Dveikus. Right? Today, Dveikus already became a tape. It became a song. What does the word Dveikus mean? Is anybody familiar with the word Dveikus? What?
Closeness.
I'm sorry?
Closeness,
right? Or connection. Okay, now, we have to stop here for a moment. Pre-Chassidus, how were you davek in the Rabbeinu Shloilem? Dveikus already is a pasuk in the Torah. So how you davek in the Rabbeinu Shloilem, Rabbi? So you know how you davek in the Rabbeinu Shloilem? Learn Torah. Excellent response. And by the way, that is the whole Shar Dalet of Nefesh HaChaim. You'll start learning through the Sefer. His whole point is that if you learn Zohar and Arizal, you'll discover that Dveikus in the Rabbeinu Shloilem comes from one source, Torah. Period. So it's all about learning Torah. Now, by the Hasidim, there was suddenly a discussion that Dveikus can come from a new source. Where can you have Dveikus from? From other Avodas. So, for example, there was a tremendous focus on Tefillah, on davening. And when you daven, you're suddenly going to be able to get the same dveikus in the Rebbeinu Shleil. Now, if you notice, Taka, right? When we were in Yeshiva, the Rebbe said that today it's all the same thing. Chassidish, Litvish, today doesn't make any difference. We were told in Yeshiva that we should learn like a Litvak and daven v'yachusit. Right? We were told in Yeshiva, learn like a Litvak and daven v'yachusit. And the truth is, today, this whole discussion is really an academic discussion. It's really about what you can take out of each one. Because there is no real differences today from these original discussions, okay? So, what does this mean, Rabbi, say that your person should have dveikus through tefillah? And as you will start to discuss this, you're going to realize that the whole approach to tefillah was a very different approach. You know, you speak to Hasidim, one of the things that you see a lot in Sifrei Hasidus, and for those that speak Yiddish, you'll appreciate the vort like they say it, they say, the achuna is gresa vid mitzvah. Right? You've all heard that. What does that mean, the achuna is gresa vid mitzvah? That the preparation to do a mitzvah is bigger than the mitzvah itself. Right? You see that a lot. Which really is the concept of dveikus. It's a concept of how close will I get to the Rebbeinu Shleilim by doing this mitzvah. Now, the brother of the Gaon, Reb Avrum, wrote a Sefer Malos HaTorah. The whole focus of the Sefer is on one point, on this specific point. The point is, you want dveikus with the Rebbeinu Shleilim, there's one way of getting dveikus. Learn Torah. He quotes the concept of a Salma Torah Keneged Kulam. He also, it's very worthwhile to read, there's a Sefer Ruach Chaim, which the Ruach Chaim was written by Reb Chaim Volozhiner, besides the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, and it was written on Pirkei Avos. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, "Al shloisha dvarim ha'olam oimid, al ha'toyer v'al avoyde v'al gemilas chasodim." So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, firstly, how could you say the ikka is avoyde? You can't have an ikka called avoyde. We know there's three, this toyer, avoyde, and gemilas chasodim. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner says an even more interesting point. He says, prior to Kabbalah's HaTorah, how many amudim did the world stand on? Only Avoida and Gemilas Chasadim, because they didn't have Torah. Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim that, in Nefesh HaChaim, in his other Sefer, in Sefer Ruach Chaim, that when the Torah was introduced, that became the main pillar, that the other pillars now take second position to the first pillar, and they stand all on this first pillar. So it's a fascinating shtick of Chaim Volozhiner. And this becomes a tremendous machloikis, and I'll start to explain to you, you'll realize how many differences this machloikis has, because here's the catch. What's Torah all about? Having dveikus. Now the question is, what happens, and this is a very big subject in Sifrei Chassidus, what happens if you learn Torah, but you don't learn Torah b'tahara? Are you receiving dveikus from that limit of Torah? The Chassidim were very against it. Why were the Chassidim very against it? Because if the whole tachas was dveikus in the Rebbeinu Shleilim, right? So then what is the purpose of you learning Torah if you're not b'tahara? To the extent that if you take a look in the Sefer Agra Dekala, which is a Sefer written by the Bnei Yisrael, and he has a whole discussion how a person learns Torah before he comes to the Madrega of Tahara. Okay? Now, on the other hand, if you take a look in the Svarim of the Reb Menachem Mendel of Prem Ashlan or others, they clearly write that the Tachlis of Limit, what's the Tachlis of Limit? Is only to become duvik into the Rebbeinu Shleilim. So everybody said, now I'm going to share with you something fascinating. Okay? Who mentioned the Tanya? What's that?
This connects to the idea of Limud Avodas Lasas.
Okay, so let's approach these subjects one by one. Everybody say, let's talk about this specifically, this subject. You mentioned before that one of the greatest svarim on the subject is none other than the Bala Tanya. I'll just read to you a couple of lines in the Bala Tanya, and you'll see how far off the Hasidim and the Misnagdim were in this subject. Okay, let me share with you a few lines in the Bala Tanya. The Bala Tanya has the following question. Now, by the way, this Rabbi said that I'm reading to you is the Rav Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Talmud Torah. So I'm not reading to you a Chassidish Sefer. I'm reading to you currently one of our most accepted halachas svarim that we have, Rabbi said, the Rav Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rav Shulchan Aruch asked a fascinating question. The Gemara tells us that the Chassidim HaRishonim, what did they do, Rabbi Say? They used to be Shoye Shoachas Koidem HaTfilah and Shoachas Acha HaTfilah. Right? And then they davened for 1 hour. So the Baal HaTanya and the Rav Shulchan Aruch asks a beautiful question. Think about this. Anybody who has a job, if you prepare for davening 1 hour, which means you have an hour of Hesbaididis, and then an hour after davening, you have Hesbaididis again. And then it takes you to daven 1 hour. You hear, Avrami, I hope you redo the minyanim here. You hear the plan out supposed to work? Huh? An hour preparation before Shacharis, an hour preparation after Shacharis, and how long does Shacharis take? 1 hour. So everybody say, when you tell your wife, I'm going to Shacharis, right? The women always complain that when the men go, always have an excuse, instead of taking out the garbage, they have to go to Mincha. You hear? Imagine this excuse. Shacharis takes 3 hours. The Rav Shulchan Aruch says, but wait, 1 second. How long does Mincha take? Again, you got to prepare an hour, you have to daven an hour, and then you have to come down for an hour, so another 3 hours. Everybody say, how long does Ma'ariv take? There's no Mincha Ma'ariv, obviously. 3 hours. Frek the Rav Shulchan Aruch, according to this Cheshbin, Rabbi says, so what are you doing? You're spending 9 hours a day davening. So the Rav Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah asks one question. He says, hold on, when are you going to learn Torah? If you're spending 9 hours a day davening, when are you going to learn Torah? So the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and I'll read you his language. His language is, he says that when he speaks about this concept. Rumi, when we dropped the paper, I think we lost the paper outside. 1 second. Yeah, here it is. We got it. Okay. He says, "Vafilu betfilus yitches omri shechasidus harishayim hayishayin shachas shleima b'chol tfilus yitches." They had a full hour for Shemoneh Esra. Betfilus yitches mishalish tfilus shabachol yoyim v'shachas shleima koydim kol tfila v'shachas shleima acha tfila. The Rav Shulchan Aruch says, if you spent 9 hours a day davening, what happened to Bittul Torah? Even though Talmud Torah is the most important thing, since they connected their mind to the Rabbein Shalom, since this davening brought them to the true dveikus, till they almost got removed from gashmius, in mitzvahs. Listen to these words. In halacha sefer, in mitzvahs hadveikus haamitis beyirav ahava higedolim in mitzvahs talmud torah v'kedemus eleha. Rav Shulchan Aruch says that there's a mitzvah of dveikus, and the mitzvah of dveikus outweighs the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to become close to the Rabbeinu Shloilam. So spend 9 hours a day davening, even though you're not going to get to learn that much. And of course, he issues a disclaimer right afterwards. He says there's only one problem, which you mentioned. How are you going to know what to do? So he says you only can start davening 9 hours a day after you finish Talmud Torah Kula and you know it. That's the rule. I'm telling you what he says. Ach, mikomach and gam chasidim harishonim lehoi rishon lahash betfila elam apnei shalomdu tkva tchila kol atoyer shebeksav v'shebalpeh v'kaimi yediyas hatoyer shemitoy chasidim heim hayu terosim mishtameres. Unbelievable. So it's a great recipe. Going to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the idea is spend your life, learn the whole Torah. Know all of Torah Shebeksav, all Torah Shebalpeh, retain it, then spend the rest of your life in Dveikus, 9 hours a day, getting connected to the Rabbeinu Shloilam, and at that point, those tefillahs outweigh your obligation to sit and learn Torah. Rabbi said, this specific point, and remember, now it's just important also to understand, the Baal Shem Tov was coming from a world where there were many peasants, there were people who didn't know how to learn Torah, and he pushed the concept of Dveikus very much. And at the same time, but the big yeshivas, where you had Reb Chaim Volozhiner and you had the Netziv, they were extremely upset because they said, you should stay in the yeshiva and you should learn Torah. And that should be your focus. Now, Rabbi said, Eli Ve'eli Dibra Likim Chaim. And of course, we can each walk away with both sides of this, either with strengthening our limud Torah or strengthening the concept that we have in Dveikus B'Torah. Those are one of the two things that a person should focus on as a result of this discussion. And I'm not going to continue into the parts of this discussion which were very unfortunate. Of course, there were those that afterwards wanted to prove their point, the Hasidim, who weren't real Hasidim. So what did they do? So they had to discredit Lomdei Torah. Why? Because in order to prove that only a person that has dveikus is something, so what do you need to do? You have to discredit those that are Tamid HaChamim because they're not real Eilei Chiyudin. And that's when the machlokes started to spiral out of control. Of course, not from the Kedusha of the Baal Shem Tov or the Goyin of the Talmidim, but from the troublemakers that were around. They took these concepts to totally new levels. Okay, Rabbi, so that is an introduction to one concept, the concept of Torah versus Dveikus. And Rabbi Yisai, while we're on the subject, I just want to share another very important point where sort of this sort of goes to the next level. The Reb Chaim Volozhin and his Sforim was very bothered because the concept of Dveikus then took on a new life. Dveikus, in its original form, only came through Limud HaTorah. The original Chassidim extended it to Tefillah. Now, as the concept continues in Sifrei Chassidus, suddenly you see dveikus in mundane objects. And suddenly mundane objects become Kedusha. Not suddenly, that's the fact, that's the reality. But you have suddenly dveikus by Yidden sitting around over a tish. Or Yidden going to a tish and chapping shirayim. So by the Mesnagdim, who was steeped in Torah, this was a concept that was considered a very foreign concept. Okay? But Me'idach, on the other hand, when you take a look for a moment at what the Chassidim were trying to accomplish of bringing Dveikus and Kedusha into every chelik of your life, this concept made a lot of sense if that's what they were focusing on, the concept of Dveikus. Rabbi Say, there's another very fascinating discussion if you read the Charamis that took place back and forth. And the different svarim, they were bothered with the style of how the Hasidim davened. And the truth is, once you understand this discussion, where this discussion is coming from, now you'll have a much deeper understanding of why they were bothered and why they davened a certain way. And I'm going to read to you just a little bit of a language here. There's a letter, a cheirim, written in the city of Minsk, and they describe the tefillahs of the Hasidim, how it looks. Okay? Right, you come into our shul sometimes in the middle of davening, you think everybody's sleeping. So let's see the description of the way they described in Minsk how the Chassidish tefillahs looked. It says as follows. Tefillah, they write about their davening, it's bekoile koilus. Right? What's koile koilus? There's a lot of screaming going on. Okay? Next word, remizos. What's a remiz? They're making motions. Motions. Next. Kritzas panim. What does kritzas panim mean? They make faces when they daven. Vaita. Vayabiu bisvasam godlut sakasam. As they open their mouths, these screams become greater. Marichim betfilas shoyes arichis. They daven long hours, like we discussed. There was a major issue about what rabbis say, the repeating of words, which is a discussion of its own, which seems to go against halacha, repeating words. And the other one was dilik. What does dilik mean, it says there in that cheirim? It used to jump. Right? Some people, they daven, they get excited. What are they doing? They're jumping. And mechias kapayim. What does mechias kapayim mean? They clap their hands when they daven. Now, if you take a look at Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who describes how you daven, he says, how do you daven? Tfilah liba boya. So when you daven, you stand like a rail. You don't move an inch. As a matter of fact, Reb Moshe Feinstein Zecharon Levracha, when he davened, would not move. Literally, a limb in his body didn't move. And they once asked Reb Moshe, why when you daven are you so stiff? Why don't you shuckle a bit? And Reb Moshe said, I remember that when I was in Russia, I was once up in front of a judge, and he was facing either the death penalty or being taken away to Siberia for life. And he said he remembered the pachad, standing in front of that judge, waiting for that verdict, that every time for the rest of his life when he davened, he said, if I had that much pachad for a human being, can you imagine how much pachad I have to have for the Ribbono Shel Olam when I daven? So that's the original concept of tefillah, was sort of to stand in one place. Now suddenly you see that there's a new concept in tefillah. The new concept in tefillah is, Rabbi Yisai, medaf springen, medaf klappen, right? What else do we say? You have to scream a little bit. Or in other words, Rabbi Yisai, You have to get into it. That's the new concept of davening, because you have to have dveikus. So you have to be excited. And this also became an issue, because every time you find in Yiddishkeit where there is a new movement, people are concerned that the new movement, which we know now is very sincere and very erlich and the most dehaibin yidden in the world, but there is a concern that this movement should be done in a very sincere way. Rabbi Say, I'm going to read to you the language of the Mu'av Shumash in Parshas Tasria. Listen to this language. The Mu'av Shumash writes, "I'efshe le'udam shemispal bedveikus." Remember that word, catchphrase, dveikus, big word. It's impossible for a person who davens with dveikus, sheyispalul beli tnius, that he should daven without making tnius. What are tnius? Motions. You need to make motions when you daven. And he continues. And he says, "Ibeiza eva shoisa tnia beoisa eva tegala yoisa kedishus nishmusai imara betniusai beiza mukem achizusai belumis el yoinim." You start to read the Chassidish Surim, you find out that as you shuckle, you bring more kedusha, and it shows you your original source in the olumis el yoinim. The Chernobyl Orinayim also writes about this concept, and I want to share with you, Rabbi Say, a line. I'm sure everybody is very familiar. In the back of the Noam Elimelech, there is a sefer called Igeres HaKodesh, which is a very famous letter that the Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk wrote explaining his concept of Chassidus. I want to read you a line in the Igeres HaKodesh. He says, "Omnam amina lechem anu." I want to share something with you. He says, "V'kachi ha'emes kishatzadik oved Hashem meyire imayahava." This is the truth, that when a tzaddik is oved the Rabbeinu Shloilem from meyire and ahava, mevi oisai kimat l'shigun. Listen to these words. It brings them kimat to become like a, like shigan. What does shigan mean? What's the source of the word? No, shigun, shiga, right? A madman. Exactly. That's the way he looks, and he speaks about the concept of David HaMelech was mecharka b'chol oiz, the way he danced, and he speaks about the tremendous heights that a person has when he can daven. So now, Rabbi, it's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, brings this discussion halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says, what should we do by davening? Should we shuckle or should we not shuckle? What's the preferred concept? You know what the Mishnah Berurah paskins? He doesn't. He says, you know what he says? He says it depends on the person. Some people should shuckle if it excites you and it gets you into the davening. And if on the other hand, you get more into the davening by standing in one place, the aim of the yira, that's what you should do. But al kapunim, you do see that this discussion goes both ways, and whichever is going to work better for you, for your kayach hatfila, that's what works for you. It's quite interesting, and this also is an interesting discussion, but I'm not going to go into this discussion in great depth because we have a time constraint, and that is, if you learn through the Svarim of Rav Nachum Breslover, the Rav Nachum Breslover tainted that the mitzvah of simcha, the way it's originally understood, is that you learn Torah, you become a simcha. You do mitzvahs, you become a simcha. Rav Nachman of Breslov said that the mitzvah of simcha is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai, just to be b'simcha. It doesn't matter what the cause is, why you're b'simcha, because when you're b'simcha, it brings you to do all the right things. So all of this becomes a tremendous part of this discussion, and I'm just going to gloss over a few of the discussions which are far beyond the scope of our discussion here tonight. I'm not going to talk about the whole inyan with Malan and Tzitzis. It's a very broad discussion. I'm not going to even talk about a far more complicated subject. There's a concept called Tzimtzum. And just if you want to have a very high level understanding, because there's a lot of Kabbalah involved in Tzimtzum, Tzimtzum means that there's the Shechinah, and the Shechinah comes down to the world. And what happens when a person's in the bathroom or in a place that's Tameh? How does it relate? Is there a concept of Tzimtzum with less Shechinah? The Vilna Gaon was very upset because the Zohar Kodesh says, "Less asar puniminei." There's no corner in the world that's barren of the Rabbeinu Shalom, right? So that's a discussion that I won't have either. And simultaneous with all of these discussions comes the big issue that if you look in Chassidus, there's suddenly psak, which is based on nister. And two things happen. What happens? Number one, there is limit of nister before nigla, which is a major issue. Why is it a major issue? Because the original understanding is you only go to nister when you have a perfect understanding of nigla. But suddenly there's people learning nister on a very early level. firstly. And secondly, there becomes a second issue, Rabbi Yosef. What's the second issue? Psak according to Nister, which becomes a big issue. But Chassidim, there are actually certain psakim that go al piari. That's the reality. So that became a major discussion too. As a side note, something you should note is very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that when you have a machloikis between halacha and kabbalah, you should paskin like halacha. If you have a kabbalah that the halacha doesn't address, then you could follow the kabbalah. But it's very interesting that the Vilna Gaon, who is a tremendous expert in kabbalah, the Vilna Gaon held that there are no machloikis then between halacha and kabbalah. You just don't know how to read the Kabbalah. And he went and he read all of Niglan, all of Said, and he said by him they all shtim, there were no machloikas in, which is a very interesting statement from the Vilna Gaon. Now, Rabbi Say, we're going to keep on going with this subject, but we're going to go to a subject which is extremely intricate, and it's way, way above our understanding, but it's kedai to listen well, because you'll hear some very important concepts, okay? There was a fundamental machloikis between the chassidim of Misnagdim, and that was, what is the role of the tzaddik? You hear everybody say, it's a very important question. You have a Reuven of Besmedrish, right? This Besmedrish is one of the most prestigious rabbonim in the area. What is the function of the Reuven, right? So most of you know that the function of the Reuven is to say shiurim, to paskin shilas, to give you good eitzes, right? That's Bepashtus, his function. But by the Chassidim, that's not necessarily what they believe the function of the Ruv is, or perhaps we should rename him into the Rebbe. Right? The function of the Rebbe may be a very different function. So, for example, you have a Yid that feels that he needs Panusa. So what does he do if he needs Panusa? Who does he go to? The Rebbe. Does anybody go to the Ruv? They need Panusa? No. You go to the Rebbe for Panusa, right? Okay, now one second. But how come, why are you going to the Rebbe for Panusa? What can the Rebbe do for you for your Panusa? Okay, so this is a very important discussion because you start to understand what is the role of the tzaddik in your life. Okay, now, I'm going to speak specifically a few concepts from the Neumel Melech, because the Neumel Melech, kemat, most of his sefer focuses on the tzaddik and what the obligation of the tzaddik is. And the Neumel Melech says as follows. He speaks about a concept called Avera Lishma. Rabbi, I want you to hear this concept, because this concept is a fabulous concept. The Neumel Melech in Pashas Nosoi writes, and I'll just read you his language, so nobody should have even a havamina, that is one word I'm saying here that is extra. The Neumel Melech says that when a person needs a kapura, he needs to go to the tzaddik, because a person on his own can't achieve it properly. So how do we do tshuva? By going to the tzaddik. But the tzaddik has a problem. You know what the tzaddik's problem is? He doesn't do averus. So he doesn't have to do tshuva. So he doesn't have to connect to you and me. So if he doesn't have to connect to the rest of us, how can he, with his tshuva, bring us back? So he has a gevaldige eitzah. You know what the eitzah is? The tzaddik, therefore, has to do a avera. Wait, no. This is called already an avera lishma. Once the tzaddik does an avera lishma, he now has a connection to the hamayinam. And when he has the connection to the hamayinam, and he brings back the people, he brings everybody back together. Okay, I'm going to read to you the Noam Elimelech, Pashas Nusay. And he has this whole discussion. What's the role of the tzaddik? And he says as follows. Read his language here. Okay? If you want to do a taiva for your friend, I can't totally do this taiva for you. I have to be totally connected to you to do the favor for you. Vimkain, Hatzadik Tzurich Ladabik Atzmei B'chol Yisrael. The tzaddik has to get connected to every yid. Kedei lahetiv lahem, to do good for them. Ve'im hi oise im habal avera chalila halei af shehi bal avera al kapunim tzurich lashpur. The bal avera also needs the hashpur of the tzaddik. Ve'lach yois ve'ech yiskasha tzaddik imai. How can a tzaddik connect himself to a rosh or a boisai? So the teretz is l'ze amri ha'gemura G'doyle avera lishma sha tzaddik oisa. Why is the tzaddik doing avera lishma? Because once he does the Aveir Lishma, he has the ability to be Mekasha himself to the Neshuma of the Rusha. Rabbi Shem Chaim Elazar has a whole parak in the Sefer addressing this question. And he says, what right do you have to do an Aveir Lishma? But I want to tell you something, Rabbi, which is very interesting, and I'll show you how Dehoiban each of these concepts are. Because even Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who said you can't do this, concedes that the concept works. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that the concept worked before Kabbalah Satayr. Because before Kabbalah Satayr, there was no chiyuv to do mitzvahs. So since there was no chiyuv to do mitzvahs or averis, you were able to do an aveir lishma to bring the other people back. So he's not totally disagreeing with the concept. I'll go back to the previous concept we discussed. We discussed if when you daven you should jump or not. The Rebbe of Shmelke of Nikolsburg, right, who was the brother of the Afla, brings a raya that you have to jump by davening. What's his raya? You have to jump by davening? Because he says, we know that the Gemara tells us that Rebbe Akiva started to daven in one corner and he ended up in the other corner. So if that's the case, this is how he all davened all the time. No, Rebbe Chaim Volozhiner says you may be 100% right, but that's when Rebbe Akiva davened at home, not when he davened in the Beis Medrash. Yeah? So all of these concepts that we're discussing, for a moment to assume that one was right and one was wrong, that's not the case. The question is, what's the time and place for each one of these different points? And as I said, there's a lot that we can take out of these concepts. Now, I'm just going to go a step further here, because now that you're understanding that the Rebbe Meilach shared with us that the role of the tzaddik is to connect himself to every individual, and if I had the time, I would really read to you every one of these surim. But I'm just going to speak about it very, very briefly, okay? The Rebbe Meilach writes in his Sefer that the tzaddik is the one that connects his chassidim to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Remember, again, very big issue, because the concept is that nobody needs connections to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Take out a sefer, learn Torah, you become connected to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But he says, no, the tzaddik actually connects every individual to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And he says, when the tzaddik davens, what happens? He brings up the tefillahs of everybody around him. Listen, I know a lot of people that you see them in the middle of davening and they're standing outside and they're schmoozing and you ask them, what are you thinking? Don't worry, the Rebbe davened, it's good enough for me. Right? The Rebbe is just bringing everybody's tefillahs up with him. But think about where these concepts originally came from. Okay? Now, in the Murva Shumash, he goes a step further with this concept. And he says that the Rebbe has the koyach to make the people around him rich. Oh, now we got a lot of chassidim with the Murva Shumash already. Everybody's in with this one. And not only he has the koyach to bench others to make them rich, at the same time, the people that are close to him have the ability to take those hashpuas and keep those hashpuas going. And everybody say, now comes the big one. What's the big one? If this is the role of the tzaddik, and you need to connect yourself to the tzaddik, what do you have to give the tzaddik when you see him? Opinion. Oh, you know about opinion. Why do you have to give an opinion?
I didn't say that.
Who said opinion, huh? Huh? Did they give the roof here opinion? What's the story?
They should.
No. One second. It depends if he wants to take on the role we're discussing over here. Huh? But do you start to look through the Sifrei Chassidus, and the concept of opinion was a very Dehoibin concept, because the tzaddik is a person who's totally Dehoibin. The individual needs a kesher with the Dehoibin person in order to have a aliyah in Ruchnias and in Gashmias, like we discussed. And a Duva Gashmi is the Mekasha. So if you don't want the Rebbe to go to Aveir Lishma to be the Mekasha, the Pidyon at the same time has the exact same effect. Okay, so
what do you mean? What do you?
A person goes to a rebbe and he asks for a brucha. It's common in the world today that he gives a rebbe a pidyon. A pidyon means he gives him money. And the
is it money or is it being paid from some?
No, it's money. They give him actual money.
It's not a pidyon, it's just a
duck. It's called a pidyon. You go, look, see these circles? It's called a pidyon. And what I want you to understand is that you go through the swarm. These. Chazal tell us, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. Excellent question. Ein adam ba'aretz, ki ein adam ba'aretz, asher yasa tov v'lo yechta. Pasuk in Mishlei. There's a problem with that gemara, with that pasuk. because there's a Gemara in Shabbos and in Bava Basra. The Gemara brings Dalad Mesi Be'otav Shel Nachash. There were four that died with the bite of the snake, which means they only died because of the chet of the Nachash. Okay, Amram Kilev. Right, the Gemara describes all four. So the Masha asks, "What are you talking about? Your kasha, right? Ain't tzaddik birth." The teretz is, he says, number one, that pasuk is referring to most people. That's what the Masha says. Secondly, if he didn't have aver and he did shuva, so he doesn't currently have the chet anymore to have the connection. So that's the second cheshbon. Rabbi said these concepts are very lofty concepts, but it's just so beautiful when, if you can take the time, and I mentioned these different Hasidic Shasurim that exist, you really should, you know, listen, you have a lot of extra time in the summer. You take every year really, you should take one Hasidic Sefer and go through it cover to cover throughout the year. And each year you have a kinyan and a new sefer. And at the same time, you should take these literature shurim we mentioned. The Nefesh HaChaim is such a classic that everybody should be familiar. It happens to be that the most beautiful concepts in Hasidus you're only going to understand after you learn the Nefesh HaChaim. That's when you'll really understand these shurim. But if you take these concepts and you walk away with them, we can all walk away with tremendous kinyanim. And I'll again just conclude with the vat of the Brisker Uv, what the Brisker Uv said. If we ever had a machloikis that was L'shem Shemayim, which was Seifer L'skayim, it's this specific machloikis, and it's for us, each as individuals, to take out however we feel will do best in our avoda in order to have a aliyah in Ruchnius.